Songs of praise, you always get me. But I promised myself I wasn't gonna cry tonight. I asked the Lord to show me him today. And he answered in that song, trust me, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. I am happy, glad to stand behind this sacred desk, and I thank our pastor, Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley, for this opportunity. And I thank you for showing up, amen. Because I pray that this word that is about to come forth will bless you in a way that it has never blessed you before. I pray that the Lord will prick your hearts, that it will resonate within you, and that you will feel something as you leave this place, amen. We're gonna do something a little different today. I'm just warning you now. We're gonna do something a little different today. And today, tonight, I wanna introduce you to a woman that may not have been appreciated back in her day, but has been quoted in two books of the New Testament, Matthew and Mark. She is nameless, but her story is infamous in history. She's going to come and tell you her story, even me. Pray with me as she comes. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We adore you. We thank you, Lord God, for sitting next to us, Lord God, and being with us throughout this day. We pray, Lord God, over the rest of this service, that over the words that you have given your servant. We pray, Lord, that you would hide her behind you, that your cross would be ever so present, Lord God, that your wings would cover her. And should she have to step out, Lord God, we pray, Lord, that you would be right there standing next to her. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I would like to thank Pastor Wesley in his absence for inviting me, and it is an honor to be here with you to tell my story. Would you stand on your feet as we turn our attention to Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. Mark 7, verses 24 through 30. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out, and her daughter lying on the bed. You may have your seats. Now, this is what the writers say about me, but I want to tell you my story in my own words. Is that okay? I was different, a Gentile, and had a little bit of money. Wasn't the same race and ethnicity of the Jews. Didn't grow up with the same beliefs. As a matter of fact, I grew up in a Greek pagan idol-worshipping religion. Then all of a sudden, my daughter started acting different. I don't know what happened. She wasn't the same little girl I loved and had been raising all this time. She flipped the script on me, and I didn't recognize her anymore, and it wasn't just puberty. She needed a healing, and the healing I was trying to give her was not working. She needed an exorcism. because I swear her head started turning around and she was trying to cuss me out in my house, which is suicidal. She had lost her mind. I don't know if my daughter fell in with the wrong crowd and took a hit of something or started hearing voices or what. She would feel so low she couldn't get out of bed, wishing she wasn't here anymore. Then all of a sudden she would reach a high and she couldn't sit still, wouldn't listen, and would not focus. Something was wrong with my child. My child was acting crazy, and it couldn't have been anything but a demon, because this wasn't my child acting like this, not my child. I needed help, and I had tried the gods of my religion, and they didn't heal her. I couldn't take her to see an internal medicine physician or a psychiatrist because, you know, the way my health care is set up, they added new rules, and I saw her state, and they saw her state as a pre-existing condition, and they would not see her. Nothing worked. But I had heard of a man named Jesus and all that he had done for others, and Jesus's reputation spread widely because his light could not be hidden. It penetrates every dark place. He went from town to town healing and setting folks free. He was traveling, tired and didn't necessarily want to be bothered. He and his disciples left their regular neighborhood going into the region in which I live, between Tyre and Sidon, which was hostile territory for the Jews. He wanted to get away from those who knew him. He just wanted a little rest, some guy time, a little fellowship with the boys over a meal. Eating fellowships were seen as an endorsement of a covenant and used in friendship bonding, breaking bread with one another, jaw jacking and chilling. He just wanted to bond with the guys, and here I come, a Gentile woman outside of the covenant with a petition. In normal Greek and Roman areas, all the men would recline around the table, laying in close proximity with each other while they ate, but women, children, and slaves sat at a table. This reclining posture showed status and wealth, but the Jews would allow reclining to the poor during special holidays and festivals, especially Jubilee and Passover. So when I found Jesus, I humbled myself, bowing at his feet. I came boldly to the throne of grace on behalf of my daughter in the posture of prayer. Prostrate because I recognized his greatness, humbled because I had no other option. I tarried before Jesus, pleading for healing. Now, I know some of you have kids, and I know you can relate to me. You will do anything for your child. There is nothing worse than seeing your child in pain. And if you don't have kids, you can imagine your mama and your grandmothers praying over you and for you when they felt you were out of sorts and out of order, when you needed a healing in your body and in your mind. They lifted you up to the Lord. Do we have any parents or grandparents in here like that? You've got to pray over your child. There are too many things out here that will trap them. Too many people out here wanting to cause them harm. Bathe them in prayer, putting a hedge of protection around them. Yes. Now, I've heard of a center called Oak Hill. I think it may be called New Beginnings now. It is a facility for kids who may have lost their way in Laurel, Maryland, not far from here. The kids have committed very adult crimes, but you look at them and you still see that they are kids. Some of them didn't grow up in nice homes and may have gotten caught in the family pharmaceutical business. They may not have been shown a different way, and many are neglect and abuse cases. They deserve a healing, a second, third, fourth, tenth chance, just like we do. I heard a song by a man named Dominique McClurkin that said, "We fall down, but we get up. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up, and they have to be healed to get back up again." We have to have the faith, strength, power, and tenacity to save our children. We have to pray for our babies, anoint them in their sleep, and pray for their protection over them, protection even from themselves. We have to pray that they keep their faith intact and it grows. And a proverb says that you train up a child in which they should go and they will not depart from it. When they are older, they will return to Jesus and strengthen others. But we've got to cover our babies. I had to cover my baby. Now, I couldn't recline at the table like the rest. I wasn't male nor Jewish. And instead, I knelt down at his feet and pleaded with him as the disciples tried to block my way. And as it is written in Matthew 15, read it when you get home. I pleaded, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." He didn't answer me. Then his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." Selfish haters. They didn't want me to be great. Ain't it just like haters to want to exclude you, box you out, scrub lists, close voting stations, and institute new regulations on who gets to participate, on what region you live in, because they don't want you to have the power that they think that they have? And who is this us? I didn't come here for them and their delusions of grandeur. I came to see the one that had the real power, not the ones who think that they have power by proximity. Because they walk with Jesus, hanging out with him and going to church, they think that they are equal to him and can judge who gets close to him and who does not, who can receive a blessing and who cannot. But no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No gun, no knife, no bomb, not even your mouth will stop me from getting to Jesus. Your mouth will not stop me from getting to Jesus. Believers that are supposedly walking with Jesus need to act like they are walking with him. How are you going to deny me access to the one who can save? How dare you not want to share him with others? Your conduct toward those who have a desire to come to Christ is crucial. You could cost someone their salvation, but not by not welcoming them. As a community of faith, your commitment to prayer matters and your conduct matters toward others just as much. Sorry, I had to get that off my chest. Now, as I am at his feet, he gives me an answer. Not the answer I wanted to hear, but he gave me one. He said to me, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the little dogs." Now, I thought about that thing. Isn't that just like us? We have to make sure our own is taken care of before we help somebody else. We have to make sure our home is in order before we help our neighbor, our kids before our neighbor's kids. We stop helping each other raise kids. It took a village back in the day, and it still does today. We've come to the conclusion that it's not our business and that each person is responsible for their own. They have to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, and we have to make sure our neighborhood is straight before we help the city. That's not the fellowship of believers. What happened to the community of the first church where everyone shared responsibility for each other? That community pooled their resources to help one another, and had anyone that had a need, somebody fell on hard times, they would sell possessions, make clothes, send food, give an extra few dollars, throw a rent party, sell chicken dinners so that no one would be without. They looked out for one another and provided for each other. I read in John that how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? The church saw the need and met it. They spent time together and everyone knew each other's business and it was okay. No backbiting, no prideful thinking, no gossip, no jealousy, no envy to be had. They pray together and can't be jealous of someone sincerely, if you're sincerely lifting them up in prayer. Can't gossip about them either, because you and her and him have taken the issue up to the Lord in prayer. Gossip and prayer cannot come out of the same mouth. They broke bread together and ate at each other's homes. They shared communion with each other. There is but one body of Christ, and Jesus said he is the bread of life. But when was the last time we invited folks that are not in our circle over for a meal? When is the last time we fed someone who fell on hard times? When is the last time we shared the gift of salvation with someone? When is the last time we talked about Jesus to anybody? We don't need to keep Christ all to ourselves. Christ died for the salvation of all, not just us. We have to tell all that he died, that he rose, that he's coming again, and he did it all for them as well as us. I fell on hard times, and I came for the bread of life. I came for the salvation for my daughter, and Jesus said to me, let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the little dogs. Now, most people would read this as a denial, callous, mean, dismissive, unchristlike, so unlike the Jesus I'd heard of. And did he just call me a dog? Once I got over the initial blow, I realized he answered, meaning he heard and listened to me. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. He heard me and was mindful of me. I mattered enough for him to address my concerns. And that moment, I had his undivided attention and was included. And with that, he didn't give me an answer of yes, but he didn't say no either. I believe that's good news. He gave me a not yet answer. We live in this constant condition called the present time, which is between the past and the future, between that has already happened and what is to happen, or the not yet, the meantime. Sometimes that meantime is mean, but we often think that wait means never. It's not never, it's just not yet. Not yet is a delayed yes. A delay does not mean denial. Not yet means there is a now in your future. It means your time is coming and is sure to come. It means my not yet will soon be my now present. There is an assurance of a yes, just not yet. You see, we always want a right now answer and can't handle being put on hold. We don't have the patience anymore. I heard of an invention of this new kind of stove called the microwave, and how fast meals are prepared and how hot the food gets when you cook it or heat it up in there. But whatever happened to the wood burning stove, the one that takes a few minutes to heat up? People have to rush to eat their food before it gets cold because the microwave's heat doesn't last long. But if you use that old kind of stove and wait for your food to cook and heat up, we don't have to rush to eat because the heat lasts. I don't know about you, but I don't want a microwave blessing from the Lord. I want something that's gonna last and last and last. If it's quick, I may not appreciate it, but if I had to wait and tarry over it, I will cherish it. It's more valuable to me. I will remember how long it took and remember who gave me the blessing in the first place. I will remember that Jesus came through for me in my time of need and can go out and tell others that if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. However, I felt an urgency and an emergency for my daughter, and yet I persisted. I tarried at his feet. Even when the disciples told me to sit down and shut up, or better yet, leave, I persisted. So I said to him with much tenacity, Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. In other words, I'm gonna sit here at your feet until something drops, and when it drops, it's mine. Whatever word of life you drop, it's mine. And that same word, I'm going to go over and speak to my daughter. Whatever touch you give me, even if you just graze the top of my head by mistake, it's mine. Whatever blessing you drop that may have been meant for someone else, it's mine. So come on, Jesus, I dare you to break the bread, because these crumbs are mine. Every last one of them, if I keep eating these crumbs, they will eventually make a loaf and I can share some with my daughter. I sought you out and sat at your feet, so I ain't moving till you bless me. And I get what I came here for. I said, Lord, I hear showers of blessings. Thou art scattering full and free. Showers are the thirsty, so refreshing. Let some drops now fall on me, even me. Lord, even me. Jesus was quite impressed by my commitment to the prayer and to his words. So impressed by my faith through my conduct and my words that he showed me compassion. He said to me, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. He showed me compassion, even me. Somebody who didn't belong, someone that was different and didn't look like everyone else, didn't have the same upbringing as others, even me. The drops of blessings fell upon me, the crumbs fell and I ate sufficiently. He healed my daughter while I was yet still at his feet. My not yet became my now. And he met me right where I was and met my daughter right where she was at the same time. Through me being in his presence and having a persistent conversation with him, he healed her. I've come by to tell you today, church, that we have to show that same commitment to prayer and to his word, Christ-like conduct and compassion for all. It's real easy to show compassion to those that believe the same things you do and have the same things as you do, that same kind of car, house, job, but what about those that don't have it all together? Truth be told, we ain't never had it all together. So how can we show compassion? How can we not show compassion to others? Blessed be the tie that binds in Christian love. We have to always show Christ's love. So what if they have a different background than we do? So what if they have a checkered past? We all do. Everybody is an ex-something. I was an ex-idol worshiper, but then Jesus touched me and touched my daughter through me, and we became two of the first Phoenician converts to Christianity. We became believers. Our reputation, good and bad, sometimes precedes us and tells our story before others can get to know us. How far does your reputation reach? If the good that you do doesn't reach past the second pew, I challenge you to go beyond it to the third, the tenth, outside of these doors and even into the next city. What impact are you making for the body of Christ? It has nothing to do with age, class, or education. Your Jesus reputation will go before you. I'm a witness that God opens doors no man can shut and shuts doors no man can open. When they tried to shut me out and block me from coming to Jesus because I was not Jewish or a man, I opened the door. He opened the door for me to come in. He will go before you. If it is in his will, and move some people and things out of your way for his sake. I'm a testament to his ministry that all are invited to this table for the breaking of bread and the bread of life. Even me, oh Lord. Even me. Thanks for listening.